Our scripture reading tonight will be from the book of Luke, chapter 24. Again, our scripture reading tonight will be from the book of Luke, chapter 24. And if you're using the Bibles that are on the pews, it'll be on page 1024. And it reads, and he opened, verses 45 through 49. I think I forgot to tell you that. Again, verses 45 through 49. And it reads, and he opened his understanding, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
Good evening. Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Some people didn't say it twice, gave you two shots at it. Folks still didn't say it. Is it not a good evening? It is, isn't it? Good to see you at any rate. Good to stare you in the face. We talked this morning about the gospel. Jesus said, go preach it. That was one half of the equation. The other side of the equation is those who hear it need to respond to it. Our Lord included that in his discussion, recorded for us in Mark 16. When we talk about the gospel, we refer to it sometimes, maybe you've heard it, the Great Commission. We actually just read one of the renderings of that in Luke's account. Luke included the phrase, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And then Luke also included beginning at Jerusalem. The other two accounts, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and Matthew 28 through 20, add more details. Matthew's account says, go into all the world, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or age. We had Mark's account read this morning. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These are not different thoughts. They're all the same thought. Repentance and remission of sins in Luke's account. Teaching them or baptizing them. Actually, what Matthew says is make disciples. The preaching of the gospel and those who respond to it makes disciples. Teaching them. Make disciples is what Matthew says. And preach the gospel in Mark's account. We talked this morning about the apostles being charged with going to preach that. And we said Peter did and Paul did and all of the apostles did. This evening we look at those who heard it. In fact, I've referred to them as the first responders. You recall Acts chapter 2. What happened when people heard this message? In Acts chapter 2, as we talked about this morning, verse 36 and verse 37. It's not near as big on my screen. Not exactly sure what happened to the slides, but I guess these things happen with technology sometime. Is it off the charts over here? It is, isn't it? Well, that's why you have Bibles. Acts chapter 2. You got one handy? Verse 36. You may have it memorized. Near the end of that sermon, Peter and the others had preached the gospel, Acts 2, 22 to 24. Near the end of that sermon, Peter said with the other apostles, therefore, drawing a conclusion on the sermon, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I'll do my best tonight to refrain from talking about denominational belief in our present world. Because that's not the discussion in Acts chapter 2. In fact, in the reading of the Bible, you shouldn't even have any thought beyond what you're reading. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. We referred to Acts 2 this morning as the first gospel sermon, and it is. And so what did people do when they first heard the message? Go preach, the apostles are told. They are doing that, Acts chapter 2. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. When you preach it, those who respond to it can be saved. Acts chapter 2, the first sermon is heard for the first time. And in the audience, those people asked, what shall we do? And the apostles answered. A great thing about the Bible is if you just keep reading it, chances are real good. It'll answer the questions you have right in the text. If you just keep reading. Here are people hearing the sermon for the first time. In fact, in this audience are the people who helped to kill Jesus. That's what was said to them back in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Part of that message was, you have taken him and with wicked hands, you crucified him and God raised him and we're witnesses. And then they preached about David and how his prophecies corroborated these events. David spoke of him. And now when they heard that, they said, what do we need to do? The apostles answered. Peter answered and said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word. What was their word? The gospel. What were they told to preach? The gospel. What did Jesus spend 40 days talking to them about? The kingdom and things pertaining to it. Among the last charges, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where would it begin? Jerusalem, Luke's account, Acts chapter 1, tarry in Jerusalem. Luke said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in Jerusalem. Matthew's account, go make disciples, teach them. Mark's account, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And there we stand, and there they ask, and they're told, repent and be baptized. And about 3,000 souls, the Bible says, were baptized and added unto them. They had heard the gospel preached. They asked. They were answered. And now they've obeyed. As we talked this morning and said there was only one gospel message. That's true. And friends, it just can't change. It's really amazing if you believe the Bible that you could leave Acts chapter 2, believe anything other than what you read as the plan of salvation. You just can't leave that section of scripture. Here are among the reasons why. When in human history would you have people more capable to tell you what to do? These 12 men are the ones who walked with Jesus while Jesus was on the earth during his personal ministry. These 12 men are the ones who saw Jesus after he died, was buried, and resurrected. These 12 men spent 40 days with Jesus after that resurrection talking specifically about things pertaining to the kingdom. These men are the ones who, by Jesus, was baptized with the Holy Spirit. These 12 men are witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And those 12 men just preached his death, his burial, his resurrection. And these men were guided into all truth. And they were asked, what do we need to do? And they said, repent and be baptized. Now, I submit to you, friends, if that's not it, you can't ever know it. If that's not it, you surely can't tell me that men later know better than these men. There's no earthly way. Friends, listen, it can't change. And these men began to preach that message throughout the world. It began in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria. Acts chapter 8, we're in Samaria. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. There is only one gospel message, and it can change. Now, why go through all of that? Well, number one, people believe it did, simply because sometimes they read different words used. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. You'll have different wording, but it's the same response because it's the same message. Read a few of these passages with me. You have your Bible. Look at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, verse 1 tells us, went up to the temple about the ninth hour, and they healed a man who was lame from his mother's womb, verse number 2 tells us. That man, when people who came by going into the temple passed him outside of the gate, that man, now having been healed, is leaping and jumping inside the temple, praising God. That's about verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together, and then in the porch that is called Solomon's, they were greatly wondering. Wouldn't you have been? We walked by that man coming in when we went into the temple, and now this man is standing in the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God. And the people see him now standing with Peter and John, and they're wondering, how did that happen? When Peter saw the people, verse number 12, let's just begin reading. When Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, the healing? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, the apostles, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" You don't have to give preachers an opportunity to preach. They'll preach at the drop of a hat, and they'll drop the hat. Peter takes this opportunity to preach. Verse number 13, listen to the sermon. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." That's the gospel. We said one message for all the world. That's it. They just keep preaching. Well, if there's one message, there can only be one response. You might get different wording, but the response to the gospel has to be the same. How do I know? Go back again. Hear the Lord in Mark 16, 15 and 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." What happens when you hear the gospel? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That can't change. You know what? Neither one of them can change. The preaching of the gospel can't change. The response to the gospel can't change. You can't get a different response from the same message. The message was just taught. Here's the response. Peter continued with the other apostles, "His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your fathers, your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled." Verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." How do you know they were baptized? They couldn't do anything else. The word convert means to turn. Repent and turn. How are you going to turn? What's the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What can you do in response to it? The only thing anybody can do. Acts chapter 2. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You don't really believe, do you, that in Acts chapter 2, Peter was asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." And then in Acts chapter 3, he has a different answer. You might have different wording, but you can only have one response to the gospel. In fact, in this very chapter, in Acts chapter 4, you get different words. Verse number 1, "As they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved." Why are they grieved? Verse 2, "that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." And they laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. What happened? And the number of the men was about 5,000. The gospel doesn't have three different responses. You can't preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and tell people when they ask you, what shall I do? Tell them, repent and be baptized. And then in Acts chapter 3, have somebody repent and convert. And then in Acts chapter 4, have somebody just believe, and that all be different. It's not possible. Jesus didn't give options in Mark 16, 15, and 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. There aren't different responses to the gospel, even though there are different words used. Because there's only one message, and it can only have one response. In fact, they continue to preach in Acts chapter 4, down in verse 8. Listen to what Peter says. They ask him in verse 7, by what mean or by what power are you doing this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They continue to preach the same message. Look at Acts chapter 5. After Ananias and Sapphira, after their death, verse number 11 says, great fear came upon all the church. And upon as many as heard these things, verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. How are they added? There's only one way to be added to the Lord. You have to obey the gospel. They continue to preach. Acts chapter 5 verse 28. After being threatened, didn't we straitly command you not to preach anymore in this name? Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What's the doctrine? Acts chapter 4. They are grieved that they're preaching the resurrection of Jesus. You plan to fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. Note the next phrase. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter, the other apostles, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What's the message, Peter? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. The response this time in verse 33 is they were cut to the heart. And eventually they beat. And by Acts chapter 7, they are killing the disciples. It continues. Different wording, same gospel. What we just talked about was the fact that you might have different words for responders, but it has to be the same response. If you turn that around, there are times when you will have different words for the message. In Acts chapter 6, Peter and the apostles were receiving the goods that the saints were selling. And they tell the people, look you out among you, able men, seven men, verse number 3, who will put over this ministry. But notice verse number 4. We'll put over this business, rather. And in verse number 4, Peter says, but we will give ourselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let me ask you this, what word were they preaching? Down in verse number 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What did they do? Well, if they were added to the body, if they were obedient to the faith, they obeyed the gospel. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. Those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What were they preaching? You see, you can have different words for responders. And if that changes the response, then you would have to argue that every time you have a different word for what they preach, it would change the message. No, it's the same message and it's the same response. You go in all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believes and repent, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you respond to it, you can be saved, and you preach only the gospel. They preach the word. But look at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5. Verse number 4 of Acts chapter 8 says, they therefore that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Look at verse 5, slightly different. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You see, to preach the gospel is to preach Christ. To preach the word is to preach Jesus. And some people want you to say, well, preach the man, not the plan. Don't tell me about a plan of salvation. Tell me about Jesus. We really couldn't do it any other way. We'd have to tell you about Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. It is by preaching the gospel that you preach Jesus. Because the gospel is his death, burial, and resurrection. You couldn't separate it if you wanted to. Acts chapter 8 verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 8 verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Look over at verse number 12 and note the response. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name or authority of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wandered, beholding the miracles and the signs. You see, the hearing and the responding to the gospel is what saves. You couldn't be saved any other way. We don't have a different message, neither do we have a different response. One of the more sad things is people actually believe you go your way, I'll go my way, and we'll end up there somehow together. There's only one gospel. And that gospel can only be responded to in one way. There aren't options. There aren't options on the message. There aren't options on the response. The Bible is not simply beneficial in that it tells us things and teaches us things. It then provides real life examples of the thing taught. Saul of Tarsus is just one of those examples. Saul obeyed the gospel. His conversion is recounted in three chapters in the book of Acts. We like to say that if God says something one time, it's sufficient. And if God said it, that would make it important. But if you get one person's conversion three different times, that's certainly noteworthy. You can't say that simply happenstance. It just was filler in the book. No, this man was an active participant in trying to stomp out Christianity. And now he is a preacher of it. How did he become such? The gospel. Acts chapter 9, Saul, verse number 1 says, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest. Verse number 2 through 4 tells us he received letters with permission and authority to take them, any who he found of the way, and bring them before the court. And Acts chapter 26, verse number 9, he'll tell us, I gave my voice against them. He actually helped put people to death. He, verse number 4, fell to the earth, heard the voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads? Notice verse number 6. He trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you find it interesting that at least twice now, at least twice, people who have had the privilege of hearing have asked, what do I need to do? There's nobody in the New Testament who doesn't think they ought to and have to do something. It's in the Bible that way. Saul's immediate response, Lord, what would you have me to do? But note the Lord's response back. The Lord said unto him, arise, Go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This is not optional. This is not if you want to. This is not it's a good idea. This is not, well, if you get around to it, the response is here is something you must do. Another great thing about the Bible is, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen those movies where they split the screen or they show you one scene that's happening in this direction and then they show you another scene happening in this direction and eventually you know those two are going to converge. Now they may not know it, but you know eventually these two are going to meet and wow, that's going to be something. Well, the Bible does that frequently. It will show you a frame. Here, Jesus is talking to Saul. If you freeze that moment in time, it sounds very much like, well, God is just working on Saul. What we know and learn later is, while God is doing that, he's also talking to Ananias. And when Saul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Jesus says, you go into the city, it'll be told you what you must do. Not by Jesus. You see, because Jesus is talking also to Ananias, and he tells Ananias, go meet Saul. Slide down to about verse number 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias and said to him, Lord, and to him said, the Lord in a vision. Ananias, he said, behold, I am here. I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Another great thing about the Bible is how the people of God, children of God, talk back to God. It's really interesting. There's reverence and there's fear and there's awe. But it's very conversational in that they share their views and their thoughts, kind of like Abraham back there in Genesis 18 and 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus just told Ananias, go to the house of justice, and when you get there, Saul is waiting. You'll meet him, and you're going to lay hands on him. He's going to receive. He's waiting for you. Ananias doesn't just go. In fact, he returns a thought back to the Lord. It's recorded in verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that, another phrase, call on thy name. Well, you just circle that one for means they've responded to the gospel. They've obeyed the gospel. They've called on your name. These are saints. They're following you. And that man is going to, I don't know if Ananias didn't think Jesus knew that. But it's interesting, the conversation. And the Lord continues the dialogue. It's so good that way. Hopefully it'll change our thoughts about the way we talk to God and how much he is interested and how much he listens and cares. And if he were still talking to us directly, would engage our concerns because he does theirs. Verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. Entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, you should read that as Jewish, not Christian. A, the word Christian is not used yet till Acts chapter 11. But at this point, Saul's not even a disciple, not even a follower of Jesus. Much the way we would say brother, Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, same Lord, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately fell from his eyes as it hath been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. When he received meat, he was strengthened, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway, verse number 20, he preached Christ in the synagogue. What do you believe his message was? Well, you just follow Saul on his journeys and see that preaching Christ, he preached the gospel. Over and over and over again, he's going to preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:17 and 1 Corinthians 7:17, the Apostle Paul says, I preach the same thing in every church. Everywhere he goes, he only preaches anything. Well, listen, he only responds the only way anybody can respond. He obeyed the gospel. A couple quick thoughts while we're here. Have your Bibles. Look over at Acts chapter 18. Here's the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel. He just left Mars Hill, Athens, all that idolatry. And chapter 18, verse 1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. He departed thence, entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. What does that mean? The next phrase. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Why is that so significant? Hold your finger there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren. Now, you need to hold about three different passages in your mind. You need to hold Acts 9 in your mind. What did we just read? Ananias went to Saul. He was baptized. Why tarriest thou? In fact, if we read Acts 22's account, we get some words from Ananias when he arrived. Among them are these. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's Acts 22:16's account of Saul. Paul's conversion. So hold that thought in your mind, and then hold Acts 18 in your mind. When he went to Corinth, what did he preach? He preached Christ. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized. 1 Corinthians 15. Go through these first four passages slowly and listen to what he said and wrote to the Corinthian brethren. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Note the next phrase, which I preached unto you. Acts 18. He preached it to them. What does he say about them? He says, which also you received and wherein you stand. Please catch the next phrase. By which also you are saved. Does the gospel save? Yes. Does baptism save? Yes. Can you be saved any other way? No. One gospel, one response. I preached it to you. You received it. You were saved by it. But keep reading. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then Paul ties his conversion to their conversion with this next phrase. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. I delivered to you what I received. From whom did you receive it, Paul? I received it from Ananias. And when I received it and came to Corinth, I preached it to you. And you received it. What did I receive? Acts 22's account. Now why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Could Ananias have preached anything else to Paul? Mark 16, 9 through 6. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Acts chapter 2. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, man approved among you by wonders and signs and miracles God did by him in the midst of you. You yourselves also know him being delivered by the determined counsel of God. Ye have taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain, whom God raised from the dead, having loosed pains of death. Not possible he should be holding of it. When they heard this, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 6, Acts 7. Acts 8, Acts 9, Ananias, go to Saul. I've appeared to him. He's going to appear before kings and others and make my name. I'll show him how many things. Lord, he's here to kill any who call on your name. Go, he's the chosen vessel of me. Saul, brother Saul, now why tarest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, call on the name of the Lord. Saul goes to Corinth, and many of the Corinthians hearing, believing, were baptized. Brethren, I delivered unto you what I received, and it saved us both. There's only one gospel message. And no matter what words are used, you can preach Christ, you can preach the word, you can preach Jesus, you can preach the God. You can only preach one thing, his death, his burial, resurrection. That's the gospel that saves. To that end, there can only be one response. You can believe it. You can call on the name of the Lord. You can be added to the body. There's only one response. All the way through the Bible. And now Paul writes to those saints, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. And what was that, Paul? Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Friends, there is only one gospel we can preach, and there is only one response that any person hearing it and believing it can have. Why is this so important? I told you about a passage this morning. And it's just here. Well, you and I just, in the end, we have to decide whether or not we're going to stand with God or whether or not we're going to give in to our own whims or the whims of other individuals. Why is this so important? Well, if it were just a matter of, and maybe our young people need to hear this, those who are young, as well as those who are young in the faith. If it were just a matter of, we think our church is better than somebody else's church, well, then none of this would truly be that important. If it were just a matter of, well, we think our traditions, we prefer them to everybody else's tradition, well, then it wouldn't be that important. If it's just a matter of, my parents were always, quote unquote, Church of Christ, and I'm going to be Church of Christ. Well, if that's all, well then, friend, in the end, it really wouldn't matter. Why does it matter? It matters because this passage is in your Bible. Open up your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. After Paul's brief introduction of he and Silvanus and Timotheus and to the church Thessalonians and God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, after he does customarily extend grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to talk to those brethren. And he says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you to all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token for the righteousness of judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just here, I would just love it if all those people who keep shouting us down and telling us we're the problem, wouldn't it be nice if they could insert here why? Why in the end of the world and when people move on into eternity, they'll be there to tell God, don't be upset, it'll be all right, you just let them in anyway. After all, they didn't have to do anything, and who are you to tell them? My preacher, and on and on. The Bible said, and friend, listen, ultimately, I guess the only question is this, do you believe the Bible? Either those words are true or they're not. If they're not, then friends, listen. Not only am I wasting my time tonight, you're wasting yours. Better question would be, why are we bothering at all? if they are true, and they are. And individuals who don't obey the gospel, note what follows. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who are we to say that someone doesn't have to obey? Who is another human being to step in and tell another human being, you don't have to obey it? Jesus said, go preach it. Jesus said, respond to it. And somebody said, you don't have to. One more passage, sermon to be yours. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. According to the Apostle Paul, writing through inspiration, the last step of conversion, the last step, the last move, the one that translates us into Christ, the one over which people fight and struggle, the Bible connects our conversion to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Verse number 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Bible says as Jesus died, was buried, and rose, for you and I to be connected to him, we need to die, be buried, and rise. And men say, you don't have to. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach my death, my burial, and my resurrection. And those who believe it and die and are buried and are resurrected will be saved. There's only one gospel message. There's only one response to it. And friends, it's going to be among the saddest things in the world that men and women were told, you don't have to. And they will lose their eternal soul. You can blame the church if you want to. You can shout down preachers as being narrow-minded, bigoted, and mean and cruel. And you can get on the internet and talk about the, quote, churches of Christ and what a dogmatic, terrible group of people. Or you can obey the gospel. Friends, we'd encourage you to obey the gospel and be saved by Jesus rather than lose your soul listening to men. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We only have one message. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. There's only one response. If you will be saved, respond to the Lord's invitation. Allow him to wash away your sins. Rise and walk in newness of life. If you are his child, may we share the good news with those around us as we have opportunity. And may we plead and pray that they'll respond before it's eternally too late. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.